Hello, everyone. Today, I have another Jack. So it will be two Jacks and two generalists. He works in Endreams, a VR game company, studio. But we will get to know more. Just before we start, if you haven't yet, please subscribe and leave a comment. That will really help the channel. And if you don't have time to watch this, put it in the watch later. All right, so let's get into it. I hope I pressed the right one. All right. Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Hello, how's it going? Nice to speak with you today.
Nice, nice to have you here. All right, so first question I always ask my guests is, tell us who you are and walk us through your journey.
Yeah, sure. So it might be quite a long journey, but so to start with, my name is Jack, and I am a VFX artist who works for the company Endreams, who, as the other Jack did specify, is a VR company who specifically only works on VR games. So what tends to come in quite a lot with the VFX is just like, you know, performance and keeping everything nice and tidy and tight and not blow out the performance with just bloom and transparency and all that sort of stuff. But I'm sure we'll get into that later. In terms of myself, I grew up in Essex, and I went to a school in that area, and I was big on games back when I reached to secondary school. I got given a laptop as a gift, and one of the first games I downloaded, as probably most people did my age being 25, was Minecraft. So I played a lot of that day in, day out. I was even put on a bit of a, let's say, how would I put this? A bit on a limit, time limit for how long I can use the laptop for. But when I had days off and my mum went to work, those hours would be doubled or tripled because she wasn't there to tell me to come off and I could just play all day long. So after that, I tried to get into any sort of IT class, mm-hmm. whether it was ICT or what's the other one that I ended up actually doing? One that involved, computering, I think it was called. It was more focused on Python and C++, all the coding side.
Cool.
Which personally wasn't for me because I never wanted to actually dive in that way. I think I was more for the ICT side and then build to sort of the games path, which at the time I didn't actually know was a thing. Like, I just actually thought games sort of just sprung out of thin air. I had no idea that it was an actual job that you could do. Games have been around for years and I had no idea. So basically I just kept at that. I ended up having to go into the computing and the Python side because it sort of was on par with another lesson that I wanted to do. So I couldn't do ICT because it was happening at the same time as another one. And honestly, I'll be honest, I did not learn. I did not learn nothing. I learned nothing. like everyone in the class, I don't think anyone came away with anything higher than a C. It was very difficult class. The teacher, I think they went through three teachers throughout the year, wow, or the 2 years that I was doing it, because no one could really just teach us and try and get us to understand how Python works and what everything was. And the whole class was not as dedicated at all to it. And it just, in that point, it sort of felt like a bit of a waste of time. Fast forwarding, left school, got the grades I needed to get into a college course, which, surprise, surprise, was games development. Did that for 2 years, and it was very fun. Met a bunch of new people and friends that were actually dedicated like me to the games and things like that, and enjoyed playing. And I'll be honest, that was also at the time when I've just come from about, I'd say, a year or two of school gaming, where I'd be gaming rather than revising. Mm-hmm. To one particular game that everyone know and of course loves League of Legends. But I'm sure not many people actually do love it. It's just addictive.
It's a love-hate.
Yes, love-hate relationship. And me and my friend would play nonstop back in school, and I continued that throughout many time. You know, my mum's like, you should be revising, stop playing this. I was like, nah. I was like, yeah, sure, revise for like 30 minutes, I'll come back. So that was, you know, I was playing that nonstop, and honestly, I thought it was, you know, the best game ever. As no matter how frustrated I got with the game. So come to college and I'm like, okay, well, you know, barely anyone's gonna like know the game or hate the game or whatever. And then I find out some of the friends that I'm like getting friends with play it.
Oh.
So then we start playing and I'm like, okay, the journey continues to this. And at the time I was pretty bad at the game. I was pretty bad. And my friend who, one of my new friends, he was pretty good at the game. So a lot of the time he was carrying me. And it was honestly quite, I was like, Dad, like, how are you so good at a game? I clearly just suck. I was like, I've tried to reach for a certain rank. He's got to help me because I just can't do it by myself. And then I, you know, the course itself, labeled games development, ended up having quite a lot of individual components.
Okay.
So we'd have four or five lessons within a single day, and they'd all be like an hour or 45 minutes each. And they'd be like, one would be dedicated to maybe using Maya. One would be dedicated to use Unreal. Mm-hmm. Another one would be dedicated to hands drawing in a art book. One was just completely unrelated to games at all.
Okay.
And was about developing a phone app, which felt utterly pointless to me. Mm-hmm. And there was just like so many helpful bits, like the learning of Unreal and how to navigate in that. And Maya as well was handy for like making models and working how texturing works and everything.
Yeah.
But then the drawing, because I wasn't a big art guy, I could never really draw that well. That part to me was a bit like, oh, I'm just doing this and trying my best to get the best grades possible. Mm-hmm. So we started to, you know, the years went on and stuff. And I really did try and put a lot of effort in because I was like, well, I want to get a good grade regardless because this is the journey to games industry. I wasn't sure exactly what role I'd be doing at the time. My thought process was to become prop artist / environment artist. Because that's what I sort of learned to do within Maya and Unreal, get a bit of modeling going, things like that. Moving on to the end of my course, I wasn't really sure what to do. I got my grades, got some pretty good grades, and I was like, I'm not quite sure what to do. Where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. The same games development course offered sort of an extension university at the same location. But it was diving into a bit more on the code side again, which I didn't want to do. And I thought, oh, this isn't great. It's also the same location. I feel like expanded my options a bit. Then two of my friends who were also very interested in proceeding and going into games and stuff like that, they said, hey, we're going to an open day for a university in London. This university was called, at the time, Pearson College London, which is also known as Escape Studios. Mm-hmm. They were based in central London in Holborn.
Cool.
And they I was very dedicated to shift to that. I was like, yep, sure, I'll sit down, have a look at it, get myself signed up for the open day, go and have a look. And it looked very promising. The course was just called The Art of Video Games, exactly right. What I wanted.
Yeah.
And I went to the open day, and it was a case of you had to go there with some of your work or anything. So for the next few months, all I had to show was a sketchbook and just had to, for a few weeks, learn to draw a little bit better and perform some drawings that I could show off because it was called The Art of Video Games. So I suspected it had, you know, you had to show something or at least help to get you in. I had my grades as well, of course, but yeah. Went there, sat down, probably one of the most embarrassing settings I've ever had. It was just like a tutor per table, and then two or three people sitting down, you and some other random people speaking to the tutor, telling you a bit about yourself, showing off your work. Yeah. And I sat down with one other person, didn't know who he was, just a random guy. I went and she said, okay, you talk first, Jack. I said, okay. So I went and spoke, and she looked at my work and she went, yeah, I see. Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, cool. I like that. Yeah, okay, cool. And then she finished, all done. Went to the next guy. This next guy whipped out a laptop. He showed his portfolio. He showed this like half-baked game he'd made. He'd had everything. She was like, brilliant. This is awesome. Oh, I love that. I was just sitting there just incomplete. Like, oh my God. I fumbled it completely because I've got, you know, at the time I wasn't sure what ArtStation was. I'm pretty sure he had an ArtStation to show. Yes. I was just like, oh, I just don't have anything. I've fumbled this. I'm not getting in. Lo and behold, I received a letter a few weeks, a month later, telling me I got in, and I was like, okay. I'm confused, but at the same time, I'm happy, and I was very chuffed to get in.
Yeah,
and it was a very great experience because I've always been a fan of London. So it was very nice to every day or almost every day going to London. Nice experience to travel down there on the train, and so many food places as well. So it's lunchtime.
Oh, yeah.
Lunchtime, just, you know, trying loads of stuff. There was this go-to katsu curry place, never forget.
Soho every now
yeah,
and then.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And my friends got in as well. So it was great. Really started off fairly, you know, positive all round. And the first year, again, it was sort of, they call it the introduction year. So what happens is you sign up for the games course, but then they also have an animation course and a films course.
Yeah.
But for the first year, you basically go through all three of them. So you can tackle every single one and try different modules. So for example, for the film one, there was a module for like, literally they give you a camera and you go out and take photos.
Hell yeah.
There was obviously the games one would be like modeling a potion pot or something.
Okay.
Then you got the animation where we'd actually be doing some animating in Maya, you know, finding a rigging a character, stuff like that. Now, the reason they did this is because it was very nice of them. It's the first year is to show you what the university is all about. And at the end of the year, you do have the option to switch.
Okay.
If you really wanted to. Of course, in my case, I stayed with games. I was dedicated to games. I still played so much League during my uni days and just continued with that. Although some of the modules I did enjoy that weren't games, it was just like, yeah, I'm sticking with this. So second year, unfortunately, that is when COVID hit. Yeah. So we just had to start working from home. It sucked really badly, just having to not, you know, wasn't able to go to London, have all the nice food. And
you had to cook for yourself.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And just, you know, just, it was just not great. And then they started to gradually let people come in again. Mm. I was like, I'm taking the opportunity. Let me in. There was barely anyone in the class, but I was like, I just want to be in the environment. And that year we started to do like games modeling and modules and learn substance designer, how to make materials in there. And it got to around half the year, and then in almost the second half of the year, in the last two modules, it was like it was split up into, I think, five, maybe six modules throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So we reached the end to maybe like the last two projects, which all are around like 4 to 6 weeks long. And they said, we can start to come back in now. So we started to come back in. And for the second to last module, they said, right, we want you to do, it's a 4-week project. We want you to do anything you want. it can be any specialism you want, and it could be environment, it could be lighting, it could be material, it could be VFX, it could be, you know, anything from the games industry, any role. So by that point, I was like, everyone around me is much better at modeling than I am. Like, I feel like like the average Joe. I don't feel great at all. I was not positive with what I was doing. Every time I made something, someone did it better. If we were all following the same module, it was like, oh, this is my one. They just showed theirs. It's like incredible. So I was like, I need to switch up. I need to change. So this was when I first introduced myself to VFX, which again, at this point, I already knew games jobs were available, but I did not know VFX was its own role in the industry.
Yep.
And at this point, I sort of found it out because I was like, wait, that's actually a specialism? And all of that money I spent, all of that RP I put into the League of Legends game to play these skins and have these different effects and everything like that. It's like, wow, wait, people actually make these for a job? That's awesome. So I was like, I want to do that.
Awesome.
So that's sort of where that came from. And then I was like, right, okay, how do I do this? How do I learn VFX? Now, this was back when our university was using Unreal Engine 4.25 was the first version we were using.
Wow.
By that time, we went up to 4.27, and that was the Cascade days. So I was learning Cascade, Niagara was available, but it wasn't, and this is obviously in Unreal Engine for those who don't know. And at the time, I was like, okay, I need to like learn this. What am I going to do? Like, none of the tutors know how to do VFX. They are environment people. What am I going to do? So I was like, right, I need to look on YouTube. I need to look on forums. I need to look everywhere. This was when I come, there was just because VFX industry, I'd say, or like the community rather is a better word, didn't really pick up yet. You know, we didn't have all these servers we have now. We didn't have the community. It was a bit like there was still the real-time VFX, but it hadn't really picked up around that time yet.
Absolutely.
And I ended up coming across, you may know, and some people watching may know, the CG Howell person who at the time was honestly the only person on YouTube to do VFX videos. And at the time, I would admit he was a godsend. Like, he taught me so much that none of the tutors could teach me. No other video could teach me. He went from ground up to making some of the effects that I just needed to pick me up and to show me around Cascade and some of the Niagara as well. Mm-hmm. So for my specialism, I ended up making an effect which I don't believe is on my portfolio. I can't remember if I put it in my portfolio, if it's still there. Let me just double check. Oh, yes, it is there. But it's a sort of, because at the time, League of Legends fan, I tried to make a League of Legends VFX.
Of course.
Me and four other people chose the VFX specialism. We were like, I think the class was maybe 30 people, so that's barely anything. That's like barely anyone doing the VFX. So I was like, okay, I'm really determined to try and make a League of Legends effect because I love that game and it would be great. I really put a lot of effort in. I really like grounded. It's like this really early beam effect. Looking back at it now, doesn't look great. But obviously at the time, I was over the moon with it. I was like, damn, I really pulled this off. I got the best grade I possibly could with it, and I was just very happy with that. And then moving forward, we had one... I was like, I want to stick with VFX now. Like, any work I do, VFX, like, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And it seems that no one was as interested. So, you know, not a lot of people were interested, apart from the other couple of people who joined me. So I'm determined to take this path. I want to go ahead. So In our last project of the second year, we actually did a sort of a, we called it a, we, well, it's a mini level, mini playable level with a vista. We had to have a vista and we had to base it off of maybe a monument or something. I think ours might have been based off of maybe London or something rather. And we did, and it had to be also based around, at least ours, no, I think they were actually based around Demon Souls.
Okay,
So
all right.
we, yeah, so we did Demon Souls, little walkthrough area. You know, there was four rooms. One was like a food place, other was a weapon zone and stuff like that. And then I did all the VFX for it. So, you know, I did the
Cool.
torch, I did some torch flames, I did some like smoky door because Demon
Basics.
Souls,
Yeah.
yeah, smoky door stuff. And I did some water dripping, some rain outside. This was also when I first touched on Nigro a bit more as well. I did the rain in Nigro because it just seemed a lot easier to do.
Yeah.
So I started diving a bit more into Nigro by that point. And I was quite happy with it. Although near the end of the project, I did end up running out of VFX to do and they didn't have any more for me. I managed to do, our material artist gave us a nice lava texture, so I managed to take that, make it pan, give it some world
Awesome.
position offset, add
Yep.
some like bubbles to it, which for some reason now I can make in like 5 minutes, but back then I struggled because I really wanted the bubbles to dissolve and pop and release more like spits,
Yeah.
and for some reason back then I was so lost with trying to connect all of that together and it was just so confusing to me. But I managed to get something in the end. Even now, I've got the old project somewhere on my computer, and I
Yeah.
open it. I'm like, "What are you doing here? Why does it even pop properly?" Like I see some bubbles, and they like dissolve to the left, but then the burst of the particles happens on the right, and I'm like, "Huh." I
Wow.
guess I just didn't really know what was going on there, but they worked. And by that point, I was fully out of tasks, and they was like, "Right. We're gonna have to give you some props." So
Okay.
I made, yeah, so I made like a spear, I made a sword, very basic and texture basic and things like that. And I was just like, oh, like this brings back some tough things and memories, but I'm like, you know what? It's not my main focus. Like I can still get a good grade even just off the effects I made.
Yeah.
So I was, as I said, you know, continuing with the VFX, take it to year three, where that was honestly just 2 modules. So it was another VFX one, and then it was a big group one at the end. Now I must backtrack a minute because I actually got the specialism VFX wrong. The League of Legends one was actually done in the third year as my specialism. The first one was absolutely insane. I don't know why I tried to do it, but it successfully worked. And it's not my profile anymore, but basically I wanted a sort of claw mark to sort of scratch the surface, have particles follow it, and then it would just dissolve away from one side to the other. That was why I think I was that was I remember now that was why it's never not my profile anymore because I got confused. It's because it just doesn't look like that great, of course, because it was my first one. But the main idea is it was like the attack spawns from like one side to the other with like a mask. With particles following each claw, which was really tough to do at that point. Like I was trying to get a par particles burst of particles per claw, and then have them trail along the thing. And back then, I barely knew of it, anything, so it was really difficult to navigate how to do that.
Yeah.
And then I struggled to. I wanted it to dissolve after and leave a burnt mark away. So I was like, "How do I do this?" So I had to, you know, talk to people, talk to other effects artists, you know, look a bunch of videos. Then I realized, oh, okay, it's for a mask. Learned a lot about masks through that. It's like from left to right. Managed to get that in a nice way possible. And then I was like, how do I do the burn texture? Like, what do I do there? I was like, oh, you just sort of make one using sort of clouds and stuff and like paint it yourself over the original. And then I sort of had that, had it like burning away with some like wisps and stuff. And then, yeah,
here comes that, that drawing effect. Class that you hated.
Exactly, exactly. And it was honestly, oh, damn, I completely forgot about that effect. You've just unlocked a new memory for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, fast forwarding back to year three, I did that League of Legends effect for the for my specialism to begin with, and I was super happy with that, like I mentioned. And then moving to the last project of the year, which was our big group project. It was like another similar to Demon's Souls, except it wasn't the Demon's Souls one was third person. I think this was first person one. And it was just sort of, you know, the main goal was to, like, you don't have to make it playable, but you can, it would be preferable if you did make it playable with at least like one or two interactions, right? Yeah. So we did make ours playable. We were, first of all, we were the only, so there's four teams. We were the only team to do a stylized, because our whole team that was picked had stylized preference, including myself. I was like, I'm much more interested in stylized VFX than realism right now.
Yeah,
because you have a lot more freedom. There's a lot more you can make. And
it's an interesting perspective, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair,
it's limiting in a way, stylization, right? You're playing with the boundaries of shading and the boundaries of.
I would maybe disagree with that in terms of, I think that stylization, obviously you can investigate so many styles and you can overlap the boundary of look at this reference. Like, of course you have reference with anything, but when it's realistic, you're always trying to get the best possible outcome. When you're like, say, oh, I want to make fire. Yeah. You always try and look at real life fire. And, you know, you're trying to get that motion. You're trying to get those, like, embers looking nice and wavy and you know, disintegrate properly. But I feel like with stylization, you have a little bit of weight come off you at some point, you know, because especially in the industry.
Everybody's eye is trained to realism, but yet not everybody's eye is trained to stylization. So
exactly,
it's a bit
exactly.
more forgiving in that sense, I guess, is what you're trying to say. However,
yes,
I encourage
yes.
everybody to start in realism, regardless of the discipline. Like if it is
3D modeling, of course.
Or if it's illustration, because you just learn how the world kind of acts to things. Like,
yeah.
we are
yeah.
again to the argument of your eye is trained, right? So your eye knows what's realistic. So let's say you start with stylization first. You don't understand how the physics works of what makes an explosion dangerous to our eye, right?
Sure.
Everybody, when they see an explosion, they're like, oh, you know, because it's literally the ground shakes, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like if you don't approach learning like this, it could lead to you kind of limiting yourself with stylizing. I only say this because I see it a lot in VFX for games.
No, of course,
right?
yeah.
Like everybody starts
yeah.
from the League of Legends type of like document, the PDF, the Bible of like whatever,
yeah.
which was made just to hire new people and make their whole thing easier.
Yeah.
And people kind of just took it as a Bible to stylization, which it is not. Stylization can be anime, stylization can be
no, of course, yeah, yeah,
pixel art, but like don't take that guide as like the Bible for stylization. But anyway, back to you and to stylization.
No, of course. I mean, I totally agree, and I do, like, you know, even myself, I'd say to anyone to start with realism, because it's good to just get the feel, and the main reason is you also get access to so many resources, like, you know,
yeah,
especially realistic, the main thing, like so many people who have recorded videos of just like fires, you know, it's just, there's unlimited resources out there. But with the stylized thing, it's just when you're, I think that when you come to do your personal project, depending whatever you want to make, you know, you could always just like, you could have a little bit more freedom of what you want to do with maybe a stylized project as you do with a realistic one. And, or again, you know, sometimes there is a challenge because it's like, okay, I do want to try and achieve a particular style. You know, like you said, whether it's pixel art or, you know, animation, something like that. And I feel as though that's when it can get quite tough because you're trying really hard to match that. And I feel like with realistic, it's like it's not always one style, but in a way, it can sort of be the same style because you're like the same motion that everyone's trying to reach that perfect flame, that
Listen,
perfect.
I think like realism can get really interesting for people who purely make stylization is when you take the realism and you put it in a realm where it's expected to be realistic. I think the best people that do that are people who work on films. So for example, like imagine a magic if it existed in reality. Right, like some Cthulhu stuff that you only see on in animation movies, but now it has to look authentic to a battlefield kind of like style. I think not a lot of artists are kind of like getting their hands dirty with that type of style. I think it's super rare. So I kind of encourage like people. Listen, my background is illustration, right? So I come from this background where I was doing a lot of manga and anime stuff. And like my mentor literally was like, you're doing it all wrong. You should replicate the thing that led to the phenomena, not the phenomena itself. Like, go and learn the way those manga artists learn, which is always like they've learned from realism, right? They've actually drawn a human being. Then they studied the shapes, right? And stylized those shapes. Or stylize the shadings of those shapes. And that's how you come up with manga or anime or cartoon or anything. So when you learn that method, it's actually liberating for you as an artist. Like I see a lot of people in the communities like on Discord that kind of start formu like they start formulating this community that is talking about VFX as if it was a marketing thing, right? Like we look at games, for example, gamers look at games like, it's anime, I don't want to play it, right? Or it's realistic, I don't want to play it. Like our job should be, we should learn flexibility first. And so in the education, in VFX, it should really be that we are learning the most flexible way. So when an art director comes to you and tells you, that is great. Okay, now I don't want any fades. I don't want any gradients and make it pixel art. You don't go like, what are you asking me? This is not VFX. I did not see this in the PDF, in the League of Legends PDF. Right? And then you create that echo chamber in a community where everybody's telling you like, yeah, you're right. This is not in the Bible PDF. So it's not VFX that they're asking you to do. It's actually someone else's job that should do that. And it's like, no, it's not. Learn the craft, like, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, totally. I mean, like I said, just to back up the point again, like I would totally, anyone getting into VFX, I'd go straight away, start with realistic, because you get all the, you know, it's like it's almost like a rule book, you know, you get everything you need, and it's just you build the ground up, and then you can put it back to stylize. And I feel as though, like, because I had that opportunity to tackle realistic stuff back in uni, and when I continue on with my journey in a minute, I'll
Yeah,
explain
no
some of
worries.
the opportunities I had. That is, you know, that's where my opportunity came. And then when I had the option to just go and do my own things, I felt, you know what, I think stylized might be the way to go. I will say though, on my stylized journey, it's just something I don't have time for, and I really wish I did. And it's just a lot of, and I'm really thankful to how the VFX community is about this thing, these things. So I'm not, like I mentioned earlier, I'm not the best drawer. So when it came to try and find textures, and when it came to try and making them, it was really difficult for me to ever hand draw anything, because I was like, I can't get, you know, I want to be stylized, I want to, or it's my preference, but I can never quite get the exact textures I want because of my lack of drawing skills. You know, and I'd always find some useful, you know, and when real time VFX started picking up and some servers started opening on Discord, there was the share, you know, share button of like resources, and it was perfect. It was like so many packs out there that end up being free. And I'm going to maybe pronounce his name wrong here, but one of the biggest people in the VFX community is Simon Trumpler.
You mean Simon Schreibt, the blog?
Yes, Trumpler? Yeah, he works.
Yes, I have had him on the podcast. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Yeah. And he's, you know, and I always looked up to him when I was, you know, getting into my career. And I've seen his GDC talks many, many times. I've seen so much resources from him on his website. That's awesome. He does that weekly thing as well. Yeah. And he does so much. And he even shares other people's like information and work and findings. And I think it's great to have someone like that in our community. And he also has like even reached out to other VFX artists who've made packs and be like, look, can I put these on my website for others to download? And, you know, there's loads on there. So that was very helpful. And I've got a whole texture library now that I constantly use. And I'm sure everyone loves the like Voronoi noise and, you know, the classic and everything.
Yeah.
But obviously, as you can see, some of the work that's been playing, the Nokia effect sort of has these bit of electrified stuff going on. They were actually hand-drawn textured by me in Photoshop.
Look at that. Which was
like, took me ages to try and make it. Yeah, like there's one set on the ground there.
Hell yeah.
Took me a while to try and like get something that looked quite nice. But I was like, okay, if I just make like, if I get four random shapes in like a 2x2 sprite and then have them at least like very quick, like, you know, electricity should be, and then have them dissolve out or shrink out really fast, something, it would work. So yeah, they did the job. It wasn't the most efficient way, or also took me a long time, but I very much was like quite happy with them in the end, and I still use them from time to time. But yeah, back on how things went with me, I had the group project. It was stylized. It was a massive, like, we called it Flump's Pharmacy, and the pharmacy was spelt with an F because just from the play on words.
Yeah,
and it was just a guy who made all of these funky mushrooms.
Nice.
So there was like a massive, I think it was a distillery, where it was just like, I had to make this shader with like, that was like sort of an emissive blue and had like blue bubbles popping out. And then I had to at one point make a shader that was had bubbles and stuff running through it, which was quite cool. And then a bit of fire, which was when I investigated for the first time how to make really nice cartoonic plane fire. So it's on, you know, just a flat plane. Mm. Sort of how they do the fire wall in Valorant from the Phoenix character.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, and I nailed the style quite well because I used Phoenix's fire from Valorant as a sort of style guide. Mm. And it was helpful because the plane was fine to be there because it was covered by like the wall. So, you know, you could never tell it was exactly a plane.
Yeah.
And I had like some other embers come out to support it. But yeah, I made a bunch of different effects for that and it was super nice. And I think I made one prop. I went back down from like five from the Demon Souls project, and I think I made a single prop.
Yeah.
And it was some scales. So I made some scales, and yeah, the rest was just all the VFX work, and I was very happy with that project. And at the end of the year, we had our like sort of achievement party thing, and we had like industry people come to that, all from different games companies and everything. And our project won best games project.
Awesome.
And we got given like a trophy, which one of my teammates took for themselves and keep it at their house.
Why?
But yeah, they just claimed, they was just like, I'm taking this, and just took it. So, you know, that's just how it is. I got a picture with it, but that was about it. I myself did actually win an award, which I had no idea I was up for,
Yeah.
and it was most improved player. So it was just someone who had the most improvement over the course of the 3 years at
Awesome.
uni, and apparently a load of people in my class voted for me, and I was like, wow, that's very, it's such a good achievement to win, basically, because to see that you've actually made a difference, you've actually made progress. Like I
Yeah.
mentioned, I started out with doing props and environment, realized I really wasn't, up to standard, and then just decided to switch halfway through to VFX, which got me into doing competitions on the side. So the first competition I entered was called Search for a Star. It was done by the Gretzen Games. Not quite sure if they're around anymore, if they do these sort of challenges, but back then there was them every year. And I did another stylized project. I did one that was involving a little bit more environment by myself. It was like a beach effect. Had like a fish that I used well positioned to sort of make it pounce on the rock.
Cool.
Then I'd have these tentacles dissolving inwards, surrounding the rock, and then this like water effect would appear, and then the fish would like disappear afterwards. And a company saw that and was like, "Wow, we like that. We like that a lot."
Yeah.
And in my last month of university, they reached out to me.
Awesome.
And they wanted to interview me, and I had my interview with them, and they were like, "We would want you to start straight away." And I told them as well, but I said, "Look, what you've seen here is work, and you've seen my portfolio, and I have actually only got one realistic piece of work, which was the Demon Soul stuff.
Yeah.
Everything else is stylized." And I was like, and I understand you're completely realistic, like they're a realistic company, and they also have they were using Unity. Through my entire I was about to say Unreal career, through my entire university career, I
Yep.
was using Unreal, even back in college, like I
Yeah.
mentioned, even through my learning outside of education. So I was just putting everything on the ground and said, look, I don't actually know how to use Unity, and I haven't done a lot of realistic effects. Do you still want me? They said, yeah, we'll take you. Like, it's about your skill set, not necessarily your style. So I was like, wow, okay then.
Can
So
I stop you here? Like,
yeah, sure.
do you see now after a couple of years of experience, do you see that interaction the same way? That you would have said the same thing that you said back then about the internet?
Oh,
Like
that's a good
giving it
question.
so much weight, I meant.
Yes, that's a good question. I think if I got into that scenario again with another company in the future, I'd let my portfolio and I'd let my experience and I'd let them do the main talking. I would not admit to saying that I haven't done any realistic work, because at the point now, that's not necessarily true, because I've done realistic work briefly. That has been involved in perhaps game jams or things like that, which is not on my portfolio. So I'd never, but it wasn't like enough. I would say it wasn't as great or enough work or incomplete to put on my portfolio. So I just let my experience and what I have to show be the answer to whether or not they would hire me.
Yeah, I love that.
But back then it was just like, 100% honesty, because I am also switching engine, which I had much more issues with than being able to not do realistic as much as stylized.
I still think like honesty is super important, but what I don't want to share on this podcast is like the fact that engines have so much weight, and I know you understand it because like if you're a game developer, you understand that a game engine is just a tool, and it's important for you as a VFX artist, even if you've only worked in Unity, to understand that the difference between Unity and Unreal Engine is like, consider yourself an artist that used to do animations on papers, right? Paper by paper, and now you have to do it on glass. the same
yeah
thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
literally the same thing. It's if so if you have the skills, like Jack already said, be honest about not having experience at a certain engine, but say always ended up with, but I'm willing to learn, right?
Yeah,
Go ahead,
if that's one thing, yeah, no, so if that's one thing I've learned, it's that I thrive off of feedback. You know, even throughout
same.
All of my portfolio pieces and everything, my own personal work, it's just, I don't mind you giving me constant feedback because I want it to be the best possible piece I can produce.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes it just is hard to, at least back then, I remember it was hard to find feedback or for people to find time. But now is the best time ever because we've got all these servers, we've got a community, we've got like so many people out there to talk to and reach out. And I remember it used to be quite difficult in my last year of uni to get feedback from someone who wasn't in my class, who had a bit more knowledge. And they actually hired a tutor who knew about VFX and could actually give some knowledge. And we also had, and you might know him. He's called Tom. I think, I can't remember his YouTube name. The I think it begins the TRL.
Might
I don't
have
know
heard about him, but
but yeah, he's very big. Yeah. He's very big in the community, and I see him helping people all the time in the real-time VFX server.
Didn't he make like those really nice YouTube videos about VFX?
Yeah, he does YouTube videos. Yes,
like,
yes, he does
get
YouTube
a
as
lot
well.
Of views and stuff.
Yeah,
I should have him on,
he does,
actually.
Yeah, he's got a lot of very detailed videos, and he was actually hired to come in to have a look at our last VFX
cool.
projects
Wow,
to
awesome.
give us some feedback and help us out, which was really nice. And but yeah, and so the company I first joined was Interior Night. It was quite a small company, but they were making a game which was story-based driven, and everything was 2D hand-painted, apart from the models and the VFX, which are all 3D. So the characters and were all 2D painted, and everything else was just 3D. And it was just like, so you can imagine how many frames the concept artist had to just draw every time the person like just decided to turn their heads. And it was just like insane. And I was just like, damn, this is crazy. And I got to touch on Embergen for the first time.
Hell yeah.
Back then. Because they had the license and said, yeah, go and play around with this. I thought, this is brilliant. This
it's
is fantastic.
Yeah,
I was like, I love this program. I've learned so much with it. And that was back when only Embergen was available as well. So like to see where it's at now with like Elugen is insane. And I haven't been able to touch it really since. But that's just back then. Oh, it was so... Yeah. Such a nice time to have and just investigate that.
Cool.
Now, one thing that I will admit, you know, and it's complete, I think it's completely okay to say, is I didn't actually make it to the game credits on the game that they released.
Was there a reason?
Because I was sadly let go after 4 months due
to... You should
still
make it to the credit.
Well, I'll get to that point in a minute. But it's because they, basically, I was making effects for 4 months and they were looking at updating some because they wanted them to be a little bit more impactful, special. For example, some of the muzzle flashes, they just wanted me to see how I would make them, how if I could make them a little bit more, you know, bigger, better. There was, at one point, there was a tire... smoke where the car would like spin around and almost crash, and you had to put like smoke on the tires and you know that sort of thing. So I did redo all that. However, when I joined the company, they were already in the bug fixing stage for this game. So they hired me to learn the ins and outs of how the project worked, what the game was about, how to make this VFX, to then make VFX for the next chapter, which obviously considering I got let go meant that the chapter unfortunately didn't get the funding, which meant that I actually didn't get any of my work in the game. so I actually never got a credit for the game, which
because
was unfortunate.
There was no game, right?
No, the game did release.
Oh, but not the other chapter.
Yeah, so the chapter, so it was like, imagine it'd be like a chapter one that they released the game, and then they were going to make a second chapter, which they hired me and a bunch of other people for, but then nearer the time of release.
Did you see your effects being used on the chapter?
No, not at all.
Okay, then.
No, because they of course it's fair. Yeah, and like, there's no problem with that. It was a bit of a bummer. Because I spent 4 months making effects and I had some ready to go, but they never wanted me to push them because, you know, they were like, we're in the bug fixing stage. This is just for you to help with the next stage, unfortunate.
I know a senior VFX artist that I think the past 6 years of his work, he can't show, he can't talk about, and he can't even... you know, of course, there's no credit because there's no game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
that's,
just like
yeah.
crazy.
But no, that's insane. That's insane.
But as a freelancer, I feel like it's a whole different world. I don't want to say it's easier. As a freelancer, it's kind of different. Like, you can negotiate a couple of things, right?
Yeah.
Before you sign a contract, you can say, well, my name will be there, right? And if they're like, no. And it's like, okay, then you have to enter a negotiation, right? If my name is not there, you have to pay me so and so, right, and et cetera. I like that aspect of freelancing because everything is up to negotiation.
No, that's totally fair. And I always looked at doing freelance myself, but I felt like if I was ever able or ever looked into doing freelance, I would build up the skills first just so I know exactly what I'm giving them, the people I'm
freelancing for. And I get it a lot. From people that tell me, like, I need to be so good at what I do. And it's like, that you have to be anyway. Like, regardless.
No, of course. But I think it's just, if you have that flexibility, you know, when we're talking about stylized and realistic, if you have the flexibility to be like, yeah, I can make an effect in any style. Mm-hmm. I can absolutely, you know, just nail any style. You know, I still accept feedback and all that sort of stuff because at the end of the day, you're working for someone.
Yeah.
But in my position, because I'm much, I much prefer stylized stuff over realistic. I feel like anyone who is freelancing as a VFX artist and could nail a solid, you know, 80% on both realistic and stylized, it's like, you know, much better for them than as opposed to me, who, you know, isn't too confident with realistic stuff until he dives back into it.
But here's a question, though, like, do you believe in learning on the job?
Yeah, totally. I could go into another hour about what could be learning on the job, which honestly, it's one of the things I would like to bring up that in Dreams is fantastic. And so back when I was let go, sadly, I was obviously trying to look for a new job. Now, in Dreams, they hired me. So I got let go in September and they hired me in December of 2022. And they hired me to start in January because I said, look, it just makes sense to start new year, you know. So yeah, that's fine, no problem. So I was, and I had to move for this job as well. Now, here is something that many places don't offer. And I'll be honest, this was a very rare occasion. So for anyone listening, this doesn't happen often. But they said to me, there are two candidates. We had 60 applicants. One of them is you remaining, and one of them is someone else. Now, we will admit to you, the other guy has better work. And they said that to me. They said, the other guy has better work. But the determination and the positivity that comes from you, we would much prefer to hire you, and you can also learn as we go on. Yep. However, the only thing that we require you to do is move. And we said, if you agree to move, we'll hire you. So the reason it was such a big decision for me is because I mentioned earlier, I live in Essex, in the UK, and now I've moved an hour and a half away drive from my family, from my friends. So it was a big commitment, but I said to myself, well, this is for like potentially the rest of my life, not the job specifically, but for the industry and stuff, like working at VFX Iced. I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I've just got to take leaps of, you know, this big leap of moving, living by myself. So I said, yes, I will do that. I will move.
Cool.
So I moved to where I am now.
Yeah.
Been here for 3 years. And what's very good, another thing that Intrigues provides is they did level up days. So you get 10 every year and you can say, oh, I'm taking a level up day today. And you just spend that learning.
Cool.
And you can just, you know, learn something either, you know, throughout half the day or the full day or just, you know, whether at home or at work. And they even had these like dedicated spots at the time as well to like learning in case you wanted a bit more enclosed privacy to learning. Which I think was very good. And I learned a lot. Yeah. And I'd say that even back at this company now, they use Unreal, which is perfect for me. I was like, yes, back to Unreal. Here's where my skills shine. And then I got a little bit like, I had a little phase where it was a bit like, oh, there was another VFX artist there. And, you know, I'd see him working and things like that. And I got to know him a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did the utmost insane things.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and he was like, he's my age. And he had so much talent. And I was like, that is crazy. I didn't even not know you could do that. I have never seen that before. How do you do that? And every time, you know, I had a problem, In the first few years, I'd go to him for help because he used to sit right behind me. He used to assist me. And I feel like that, you know, to have someone like that who has the patience with you to help you learn, to progress with your skill set,
yeah,
is really nice. And, you know, it took at least a year for me to start actually picking things up by myself because it was like, you know, we had to... There was a lot of complicated effects in the beginning that they were like, can you make this? I was like, yes. And then I'd be like, I know, can you come and help me a minute? Because I just need to work out how I would sort of approach this.
Yeah.
Of course, he had no problem with it and things like that. And I think that's really nice to have those people. And that goes across like any you know, not just VFX, any like artist. Or designer helping one another out. And honestly, after that, like, you know, I managed to release my first game, which was focused on actually a more realistic art style.
Yeah.
Which was the Synapse VR game.
Cool.
And it was a shooter. I think it was a roguelike.
Yeah.
Not roguelike. Roguelike. Yeah. And it was only made for the PSVR 2, so you can imagine like sales were quite difficult because of it only being available for a single platform.
Yeah.
But I was very proud of it. I was like, I got my first credit on a game, and you know, that's a big moment for anyone to get their first credit on a game.
Congrats, by the way, because the effects you worked on are literally playing here on the eye, like literally.
Yes, thank you.
Take my effects.
yeah.
Enjoy them.
Exactly, and I was so chuffed by that, and I made a majority of the effects was made by the other VFX artist because he was obviously he was on the project for over a year already.
Yeah.
But there was still a couple of VFX that, you know, needed to be made. I got given them. One of them was this like healing fountain that I was like, you know, it just was really fun to make, having like I had this like purpley blue liquid falling down,
nice.
Manipulating it with like extra layers and some, you know, well position and everything like that.
Oh wow. Even in VR, like that's kind of
yeah. Right? And no, it was fine because it was all masked.
All right.
So masked in VR is like, well, a lot cheaper and affordable than using translucency. But we did use a couple translucency in PSVR headset because there's a lot more, it's stronger. There's a lot more
because
technology behind it.
The PS5,
exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and also one of the hardest effects I must admit that I did was I had to, the player, when they went to the healing fountain, they needed to put their hand over the fountain and sort of have a healing effect. So when the player did that, I was like, oh, okay, I need to... I had this ribbon that sort of went from the fountain into the player's hand, like sucking it up. Like, you know, but then I had to make the fountain as well lower, so the plane lower down, and shrink.
Yeah.
And also have the stream shrink as well at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like a lot of components. And I was like, oh, if this works, if this all comes together, I'm going to be so proud of that. All came together. I saw people playing it on YouTube using it, and so it just felt so good to see my work being used.
Yeah. And so close to their body and
exactly, yeah. exactly. And it just felt really great. And the next project I moved on to was the Ghostbusters VR game, the Rise of the Ghost Lord, which was 100% stylized. Like, nothing could top how stylized that game was. It was like all of, like, it had been worked on for so many years, because there was so many effects in there made by a VFX artist that had left the company. And it was just like, Jack, we want you to just revamp like a lot of this stuff, you know, start making some of, like, upgrade this and sort of thing. It's like, yeah, okay, sure. Some of the effects in there were just like plain colors, and I was like, damn, you couldn't even add like a, you know, a bit of a mask with like some what do they call it when it's sort of stacked in colors,
in colors,
yeah, I'm trying to try a toon shader, that's it,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
Toon shader. So try like and tune things up a bit.
The simplest stuff.
Yeah. That was like, okay. And then they just said, right, Jack, we want you to do the proton beam. And I was like, whoa, wait, you want me to do the proton beam? But it was like, yeah. So I was like, I was very, very happy when I got told that, because I'm not the biggest Ghostbuster fan, but I was thinking, wow, the proton beam wand, whatever you want to call it, it's quite a big effect. It's also the most used effect in the game, because you've got to capture the ghost with it.
Yep.
So they want me to redo it and make it more crazy and just more looking good and looks like the one in the...
It's, go on. It's like a beam that twists, right?
Yeah,
like this
yeah.
And up and down. Because I tried to make one for the game that I was working on. I made something simpler, but I'm guessing you take... Okay, the simplest form I'm thinking about right now. This is me just brainstorming, right? Plane, texture, some kind of distortion, and then you would make the plane have resolution in the geometry, and you would world position left and right. Correct? Wrong?
It's actually using a tube ribbon.
Oh, ooh, okay. All right.
So obviously... Yeah, so like the ribbon renderer, obviously very handy in Nigra.
Yep.
And you can set it to be a tube.
Cool.
So you can have the tube like just maximized to like, well, as many as your game can afford, right?
Yeah.
I think mine was maybe like 8 to 10 like verts or something.
All right. But
then the idea was to try and get like... a nice inside to it as well, to like have that tune look to it.
Yeah.
So it had like the simple like yellow glow, but then the big bloom orange on the outside.
Yeah.
Which because this game was also for Meta Quest and not only PSVR, we couldn't use bloom. So we had to try and like just fake look it. Yeah. And then to also amplify the looks of it, we, the proton wand also has the thin electrical bolts running
across
streams.
It. Yep.
Exactly. So again, two ribbons, but they just had barely any geometry. So when they had they had like jitter on it, they would look really spiky and just like full on do the same thing. And the motion was so difficult. I could not tell you how many like trial and error like we had to do in order to get the beam motion looking like really wavy.
Yeah, because it has to have a drag, right? When you're... Are you talking about the motion when it's constantly firing?
No. When you're like, when you've held it, like it's
You held
infinite
it
and
and
you're just dragging it around.
yeah, there's this drag with it.
Like we at one point we actually brought, or actually no, I think the office had it, but we actually started to play with a rope to see how that moved. If you shake a
Realism
rope.
again, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how do we make, how do we get this in the game? How do we grab that
I
motion?
love this.
And honestly, in the end, we were happy with something. I was like, oh, thank goodness, because like I absolutely, had an absolute like fun time with it, but also a nightmare, But I was like, I'm glad. I said, if my final proton one beam goes in the game, I will be
Oh,
over the
man.
moon, right? And then they said to me, they came to me and said, Jack, we want you to do another proton wand, but for the PSVR.
And you
So
were
I was
like,
like,
yes.
yeah, I was like, yes, because I already had the base, right?
Exactly.
I had the original, and all I had to do was just open up my transparent brain and add all the bloom, all of the
Awesome.
fancy textures,
Awesome.
everything to it.
Hell
And I
yeah.
was like, this looks awesome.
If I
This
were
looks
you, dude,
exactly.
if I were you, I'd be like, ah, this is gonna take 2 months. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just like they just because they wanted the PSVR version to be, have bloom enabled and a lot more like fancy effects and things like that. So after the Proton one had been successful and it looked awesome, props to me, as you do. Then they just wanted to have a bunch of other VFX just become like upgraded, like go from meta
All right,
stylized to a
cool.
bit more like I'm gonna say bloomified. Well, let's use that word, bloomified. And yeah, I think it was I made so many effects in that game and I
So cool.
really did enjoy, being able to be a part of, well, I say be a part, but make the proton wand or beam and have that in game. And I, being again a VR game, honestly, it didn't do that well, right? To the public and everything, it was difficult. There was still a few bugs here and there that unfortunately would just got tangled up in release, as some games do. And but I genuinely was happy with the work I did, and I was really, it was really felt good to sort of shine a bit because I just come from sort of a realistic project, then went to a stylized one. And so yeah, and then I started taking part in the ArtStation contests that they sometimes do. And as you can see now, that is where the classic Nokia effect comes from, is one of the ones I
I
did as my
must say,
submission.
like, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that
Sure,
effect is
sure,
the
sure.
closest I've seen, like, the closest real-time VFX I've seen to motion graphics. You
Oh,
know,
really?
like the illustration motion graphics that you see. You know, like the 2D illustration motion graphics
Yeah,
that
yeah,
are
yeah,
done
yeah.
in After Effects. It looks so much like that. Have you taken any inspiration from that?
No, I mean, I tried to do a little bit of After Effects back when I was in my first company because sometimes it was the way to refine Embergen sprite sheets,
Interesting, yeah.
but I never actually picked it up again because companies need to like buy licenses and things like that, and you
Got
have to
it.
request them, so it's a bit of a long process. But no, not really. I've always wanted to dive back into After Effects, but it's just, nowadays time and just trying to learn multiple things at once just
I
eats.
was just wondering because it really looked like I have a project, like a personal project fantasy that I would make something like the motion graphics, and your effect is really the closest to that I've ever seen. Anyway, I wanted
Oh,
to
thank
ask you
you.
about like moving, right? So moving to a new place,
Sure.
especially, you know, I can connect to you on that level, like definitely because I've came from like a whole different place. So I wanted to ask, now, after maybe a year or two after moving, right? Or how many years now?
It'll be 3 years next month.
Okay, would you A, recommend it to someone to do it, and B, would you do it again?
Those are two very good questions. So,
Thank you.
number one, I would recommend anyone to do it as long as you feel comfortable. Like, if you're in the same situation as me and you'd be leaving your friends and family and all of that, I'd at least take a look at where you are. and whether or not that is what your, you know, where you want your career to go.
Yeah.
And the main thing is, like, it's not just about the career. You have to really think about, like, you know, you're not at work 24/7, right? Yeah. So you've got to understand you will have the weekends to yourself. You will have the evenings to yourself. Can you spend that time and find stuff to do and live by yourself? Mm-hmm. I think that's the main, that's the leap of faith you have to take, you know?
I mean, unless you have ways to get involved with other people, right? Like, doesn't it?
Of course.
It must not always be like, because it could be that you could, like, excuse signing up for a cooking course or doing yoga on Sundays and get to know another group, right? Like, you could do.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, but I think, you know, it's just a case of, like, you know, if this is what you're. Just from my perspective, getting into games, you know, because a lot of companies do say, oh, but it will require you to relocate. You know, a lot of companies nowadays tend to be up north for the jobs available in the UK.
Yeah.
So not many around London nowadays, just because the way the industry is. Yeah. And I think that it's just like, you just got to feel like, right, am I willing? I'd say the biggest thing, right? If you have a car, it makes it a lot easier to do this sort of thing. Because it's like, even if I have to move, if the drive's like an hour and a half, 2 hours like mine is, you've got the opportunity to still see your family and friends on the weekend by just driving down there. If you have no car and you're traveling by train, it's definitely something you have to consider big time, because you have to think about, okay, if you're a big family person or you miss them a lot or something, you have to think about, would I be willing to take this 4-hour, 5-hour journey home on the weekend?
Some people even travel to another country, right? That's not even
possible. Exactly. Some VFX people just even ask for you to relocate to, I think I had someone message me saying you'd need to relocate to, Kazakhstan or something, and I was like, no, I don't think so.
Wow, so far away, crazy.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask, like, the main thing about my question is because I feel like moving to a new place teaches you so much, like, in terms
of, well, it does let you know, it lets you explore the world as well. It's not just about, you know, the job and the people you meet.
Yeah,
it's also about, like, you know, there are so many places out there for everyone that no one's seen before. And I think this is an opportunity to sort of expand it and see what there is. And, you know, if none of your friends or family have been there, you can invite them and say, this is where I live now. This is, you know, this is this place. You can show them around. And to go back to your questions and answer the second one, will I do it again?
Mm-hmm.
I think most definitely I would, but based off of how this first experience has been for me, I think I would have to do a bit more research, bit more time to take and see what's around, because I'll be honest, the area I live in now, it's got almost nothing. Like, it's very difficult to find things to do on the weekend without traveling far, without traveling to London, which obviously costs money. So I feel like depending on where it is, I'd be like, you know, I'd take time back, you know, I'd spend a few hours just researching, getting a bit more a vibe to the area, sort of thing. Yeah,
there's known knowns and there's known unknowns, and then there's unknown unknowns, so you kind of like don't know what you don't know until you know it, and then you're like, I wish I came back and I knew more about that, right? The thing, like, I was in a similar situation where you said exactly where you said, like, the closest thing to you where there's more action is like 3 hours away, and it's like, damn it. Eventually I moved away, my life has just been much better ever since.
It's like, I've got a couple friends and they work in the games industry, and because they were born and raised in the countryside, they now live there now in the countryside, just in a different area, and they love it there. And I just think, that must be sometimes, I mean, if you grew up there, maybe you're just used to it. But I feel like for anyone who's a city, was born in the city and then moves further outwards to the countryside areas, must be difficult to adapt to that new lifestyle, because you used to have a shop literally around the corner, and now you've got to travel an hour to get to the nearest supermarket.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the life on the countryside.
Yeah.
I've been living most of my life in the countryside, although like I was born in a city. And I still live in a countryside, you know? A bit on the countryside, closer to town.
I honestly love both.
Yeah,
I think it's just I prefer city.
same.
Like I think
It's
it's
exactly
just
the same, man.
it's they're all really silly small reasons why, like very minor.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like I've just yeah, city has just always been. I just love to. I hate crowded places, but at the same time, I love them.
It's a
It's
love-hate relationship.
yeah, it's a
It's
love-hate
so,
relationship,
listen,
exactly.
I can't, I know if I live in the city, I'll be a bit depressed because of so many options, right? Like, what do I
Yes.
do today? I have
Yeah.
seven things to do, and then I just decide to stay home. You know what I mean?
But
But when you're on the countryside, you're thinking, okay, I should probably go on the weekend to the city. Then you know exactly, okay, I'm gonna do this and that and this, and it would be awesome if I can sleep a night and this and that and this. And then you really get the enjoyment of like the city, I feel
But I
much
think
better.
that's why
Yeah.
I hate my area so much, because it's neither that nor that.
Yeah, okay. Shit.
It's not city based. There's
Yeah.
not a shop in sight, but it's also not the countryside with nice hills and mountains. It's nothing. It's
Oh
got
my
a
God.
train station, a McDonald's,
McDonald's, of course.
and clearly my job. So yeah,
The
it's not great. But you know, and
job is
it's
great.
just Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, going back to my time at the company, I have, you know, I've learned so much over the years to the point where, you know, I only ask you know, my other VFX artists for like assistance, you know, if once in a blue moon if I've never tackled something before. Or a better way of asking him is like, hey, how would you approach this? You know, because I would like to find out how he might approach it, because I might have an idea in my head, which I do end up telling him. But I'm like, I think there is a more efficient way of doing this. How would you do it? And yeah, so that's sort of you know, how things are for me right now. And also, I did just release, well, not just me, of course, the team and me just released another game
Cool.
called Wrecking Raccoon.
Wrecking
And
Raccoon.
we were targeting the Taya audience, the young audience, and it's on MetaQuest, and it's similar to that very popular game I Am Cat on VR. And I thoroughly enjoyed that because, first of all, it was the first project that I did where I did all the effects.
Wow.
Like the other VFX artists were on different projects.
Hell
This
yeah.
is a project where it's just me. And it feels really good to just
Awesome.
be a part of, although the project's, you know, small, and but it's got the gameplay, it's got the loop, it's got the like where the fun interactions are and everything. I just made all the VFX in it, and
Hell yeah.
it's a load of silly stuff. So it's like you basically are a raccoon, you crawl around in VR, and you have to annoy the chef. So it's like you can squirt sauce on him. So I've got like this ribbon effect coming out of like the mustard and tomato
That's
bottles.
so
You've
smart.
got like, yeah, you've got like can explosions. You've got one of the most favorite thing that we did, or best interactions. Me and one of the designers worked really hard to get this working,
Yeah.
is in VR as well. It was incredibly like tricky. So I made a pouring VFX for like a tap, right? Turn it on and
Oh,
off, pouring.
crazy.
Splashes happening when it impacts something.
Yep.
Then we wanted to fill up the cups. So we have the
Oh, wow.
cups actually being able to be filled up, right?
Oh, no.
And it then got taken a step further
Yeah.
where you could tip the water out from the cup,
Yeah.
but also as you tip it out, not only is there a separate stream, but inside of it, the water plane is also like, you know, it tilts with it.
Oh my God.
And you know, that for VR, that is quite advanced stuff right there.
Yeah, hitting the
For
edge,
me,
like right
exactly,
there.
for me, yeah, the and it was using, you know, a lot of like a lot of shader math that I just went way over my head at the time. But I was like, you know, this was great. And we made a soda dispenser. So like every single soda had this functionality. So you could fill up all of your cups and then just like tip them out, throw them, whatever you wanted to do, or drink them sort of thing. And there were so many fun interactions in there. And we actually, we launched a game back in October or September. I think it was September maybe. And then from that point on, we've been doing weekly updates and where I've had some more effects going. And we had a brief Halloween update, which lasted around 2 weeks to obviously, you know, for Halloween. And since it's Christmas now, we had our first Christmas update last week where, you know, I did the classic falling snow. They actually wanted the snowmen to melt. So I made the snowmen melt. Cool. And just, you know, a bunch of snowy bits and pieces. And then we had another update today because we have an update every Thursday at the moment. Wow. Where we recently just added a chainsaw. So, yeah. And one of the biggest standouts is a lot of my effects have onomatopoeia. So, like, you know, like the words like boom, bang, that sort of stuff. Like exactly. That was one of the biggest things we got, and like splash and stuff like that. Cool. So, like, a lot of my effects have that in. And I had my one of the other artists like sort of make the texture for me, and then I just sort of apply it to the effect, give it like a color curve and everything, and match it with the effect. Yeah. Cool. So it's like on the, for example, because the chainsaw we got today, I've got some like smoke and sparks coming off of it, and then it's like sound like in text just coming off of it as well. And you can actually chop up the if you use it on the snowman, it just explodes. And so, yeah.
Wow, so many interactions. That's crazy. But isn't it funny that in games we can make explosions, but we can't make the water tilt? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
We can make really nice explosions. Yeah. But the handshake? Hell no. No, we ain't going to do that.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, man, listen, it's been great having you on. Is there anything you would like to add in the last 5 minutes?
Yes, I got one thing to say to all of you VFX artists out there. If you ever struggle to tell your parents or friends who don't know about what you do for a job and you need something to say, just tell them, imagine you're a wizard and he throws a fireball, you make that fireball.
Yeah. Or he farts fire or whatever you want to.
Well, yeah. Well, anything. But, you know, that's always what I tell everyone, you know, all my family. What do you actually do for a job? I'm like, well, imagine you play a wizard and he throws a fireball, I make the fireball.
I must say, I love that you didn't go with, like, imagine you're being a wizard and you make effects or whatever. Because effects is very related to wizardry or magic. And I always hate that way putting it in a box. Because when you say something is magic, it's beyond approachable, right?
Of course, yeah.
And I don't like to tell people I'm a magician. I like to tell them it's like rocket science. It's hard, but you'll get
there. I honestly think though, like a wizard and a fireball just makes sense. Like if you don't know what a wizard is and you don't know that they can throw fireballs, then I'd go read Harry Potter or something. I don't know.
Absolutely, man. No, it's a great advice. And I think a lot of people really struggle to tell their parents. But in the end, I could tell you one thing from my own experience. It does not matter. Just go and do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Good at it. All right, now I'm going to switch to the viewer, but you stay here. I will still talk to you after the recording is done.
Sure.
All right. So, all right, everybody. That was it. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you liked it, you know, leave a like. Let me know what you think in the comments about the stuff that we discussed. And if you did not like it and you're still watching, I don't know why you're still watching. All right, everybody. Have a good one.